John's late. That's all right. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
So glad y'all showed up. I thought there wasn't going to be nobody here today, but got a good group out. Good to see everybody. It's a beautiful day as long as you're inside here looking out. That's right. So let's start today with 386, please, and let's stand. 386. Thank you, Lord. In spite of the cold, we made it here today. It's a beautiful day, Lord. It's one that you made. Help us just to rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for getting us here, Lord, for the good week we had. Just being there for us, Lord, always. Thanks for my pastor and his wife, Lord, the service they already had this morning, and here again with us, Lord, to give out another one. But, Lord, I just pray today, Lord, that you make John strong, and that what you've laid in his heart, Lord, will speak to each and every one of us today. Be with us, Lord. Just help us. Be with us as we leave today, Lord, if you tarry, that you keep us safe, get us back home. But, Lord, more than anything, I just pray as we go through your word today, we might find something today, Lord, that we need in our daily Christian lives. Help us all, Lord. Pray for our great nation, Lord. Just guide and direct there. Thank you for this time, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Let's see. Page 32, please. 32.
The power of God that made the mountain.
I've got an usher meeting here today, right after our morning service. Don't forget that, guys. We have a deacon meeting scheduled for tomorrow, I think at 6:30. So don't forget that. Personal evangelism is on the 21st. The Aspire Nursing Home Bible Study is going to be on the 23rd at 1:30. Secret Sisters start on the January 19th. There's some info there. Make sure you read that. We're looking for a mission statement for our church to be used here. If you have any suggestions, please write it down and drop it in the basket in the back table. Fellowship this month, bring soup and sandwiches and dessert. There's a sign-up sheet on the back, I believe. Just make sure you write down what you want to bring. And let's see, Pastor Slot, there's no future in the past, and the present's passing. Are you excited what lies ahead? Guys, you come forward. We'll take up the morning offering. Let's pray. Father, thank you again, Lord, for getting us here today, Lord. You're always there, Lord. We can ask for help whenever we want and need it, Lord. We know our prayers may not be answered on the spot, Lord, but you will answer them and appreciate that so much. Thank you for this time today that we can be here, Lord. Guide our pastor, Lord, as he's about to speak. And be with us, Lord, as we consider an offering, Lord. Just be with the gift and the giver. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's see. Autumn's going to play for us. Okay.
Well, this is the song I originally had picked out for Christmas, and then the Lord led us away to another one, so I'm bringing it forth today for the Lord. It's called How Low Was Our Redeemer Brought. Pressed against her heart.
sheep and cattle raise their voice. The babe could speak no words. The ever-flowing spring of life had come to share our thirst. Stumble as he learned to walk upon the ground he'd made. The one the angels bowed before would kneel to wash our feet and be at home among the poor, though he owned
Is that, what was the title of that? The Redeemer?
How low is our Redeemer
from? How low, yeah. I got the essence of that. I couldn't hear all the words. Sometime I'd like to have a copy of that. Thank you, Autumn. And in fact, that's why we're here today, because the God of the Bible was brought low in the form of His Son, Jesus Christ, for our sakes. We owe Him a lot, but we can't repay the debt. Yes, young people, you can go down. He doesn't expect it to be repaid. He did it because He loved us. And that's the idea of a gift. It's something that's given that all we can do is accept. Aren't you thankful for Jesus today? And that's at least a part of what we come here for, to give Him praise and glory and to thank Him for all He's done for us. Well, good morning, everyone. Greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus. I hope you're having a good day today. I find the cold weather, I kind of welcome it in some ways. Because several of us in this room that I've talked to this morning have had the same thing I've had for about a month now. We've had a little bug. I'm pretty well over it, but it still is there, hangs on. And I hope and pray that, you know, as God has ordained His timing and His ways, maybe we'll have some reprieve from that with this little bit chillier weather. And always rejoice, because you know what? If we had a snowpack today, we'd be down around 30 below. Praise God. It's been a good winter, and don't let the weather people scare you too much. But I have to ask this, deacons, are you going to have services tonight? We need to say something now rather than wait. Okay. Well, is there going to be a fight over this or anything? You heard the word, then we're not going to. It doesn't matter to me. I'll be here unless I get broke down. But it's not so bad in the modern times. But, you know, it's not a wrong thing either. The Lord understands. He sent the weather. He allowed it, you know. So it's not a wrong thing to be a little cautious, especially at night and if the wind's blowing a lot when we're sub-zero. So anyway. Anyway, greetings. It is a wonderful day. The sun is shining brightly. It's a beautiful day, really. It is. And it's a great day to have come here today because I believe what is going to be offered from God's Word, as it is every week, will always be beneficial to our lives and to His glory. And He has recorded these things for our use and for our learning. And so hopefully that'll be the case today, that we'll not leave here the same. Kim, would you want to say a word? I've had a few questions. People wondered about your dad's service on Saturday. Yeah. 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 And I thought I remembered, but I didn't want to speak and not be sure. But anyway. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, and that's exactly right. We're going to miss Grandpa, you know, and we'll miss the things associated with that. But we know that it was not good for him to continue here further. And so we're thankful that the Lord took him. So just pray for the family, but our sympathies are extended to you, Kim, obviously, and we're thinking about that. Another thing I want to announce before we go to prayer, maybe two things. I got to check my notes here. Are any men interested in going up to the men's group on Saturday at Berean and Davenport? There should be some stuff posted on the bulletin board about that. I was going to go, but I know that Grandpa's service is that day, so obviously I can't do that. But I will facilitate, if you're willing to go, I'll get a hold of Pastor Baker. He'll know the situation that I won't be there. But I would encourage you to go. I think it'll be a really good day, 9 to 3. Everyone can handle 6 hours and a lunch. Let me know, and I'll set that up for you and make sure you know how to get there and all the details about that. It'll be a good event. Very good. Anyway, I want to welcome anyone that might be visiting with us today, and we're glad you're here. And not a bad turnout here this morning. Moscow was pretty far down. But good to see a good number, and hopefully today it will not be a waste of our time that we open up God's Word. Is there anything else we need to announce today just to be on page with everything? Yes, Jason.
So we are still looking for people to do the children's class.
Okay. All right. So, as far as I know, yeah, yeah. Now, are we talking, Jason, the work to be able to work with children, or are you talking about the taking the kids down during? Gotcha. It's still open. Just briefly on that, we don't want to get bogged down. You need to take at least one course that revolves around working with children. And my suggestion is that you take the mandatory child abuse reporter training. It's free. Some of you have taken it. Kathy said, did you and your mom both took it? Yeah. It's not that bad, is it? No. Negativity. Let me just finish, Jason, then you can speak. But there's a variety of different classes you can take. You only need to take one. It just shows at least that you have some official training working with children. The second thing that you need to do is get a background check. There's several ways that you can get that. Deb Wheeler also has some of this information if you want to ask her about it. But the way I've always done it is I go up to the jail and they'll do a background check. That's all you need there. And then the third thing, when everyone's done here within a few weeks, then we'll have a class here and go over the policies that Fruitland has. And you'll need to sign in, present your certificates that your training is legit. It'll be put in a file, and we're off and running. If you have all that in order already and it's in the file, there's five people that do, you don't have to worry about any of this. And it's good for 2 years. So, well, that's right, Judy, about your training. But here at Fruitland, you know, some of this, we're going to go over it every 2 years so that it's always current, yeah, for insurance. So there's some technicalities, and we can argue that. I'll bring my attorney to help me. No. Who had a hand? Jason had his first, so let him go. Yeah. Yeah, I'll help you as well on the on the test. But if you do it here at church, Jason will have to be here, or someone that can navigate how to. I don't think I can remember all the things we did to print the certificates. So. Yes. Yeah. Get it off our plate. Okay. Anything else? Otherwise, we're going to go to prayer. And, yes, Bill.
One thing that I think is really round up that we're hoping about is for the new year of 2025, the world's going to be dramatic change for everyone. And I think we need a little prayer on that here because I don't think this is going to be able to do.
Well, I agree with you, Bill. Everything is much tougher to navigate than it used to be. We went through several things, and there are going to be many challenges ahead and changes. So we'll pray about that as well. We have been through the beginning of this year, obviously. But let's pray that the biggest change that takes place is where? Right within. Yeah, and that we see the Lord work through us in the days that He has given us. And so, yes. But let me just tell you a little secret. The church thrives in challenging times. Think about that. Thank you, Bill. Anyone else? And then we're going to pray. We'll have just a few moments of silent prayer, and then I'll follow with a short pastoral prayer, and we'll hit the ground running. Let's pray together. Oh God, our Father, we come today once again humbly before your throne of grace and mercy. We thank you today for who you are. You're an awesome and mighty God. You are the only God that is the true God. And we thank you today, as we've already considered, that you have manifested yourself towards humanity out of love through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came again to be made low, to be made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God through Him. And so we give you thanks and praise for that today, and we thank you for the gathering of the church. Lord, it's your will that your followers get together, Lord, to be edified, but also to be challenged, and most importantly, Lord, for the fellowship and the bearing of one another's burdens as we fulfill your law. So we thank you for the institution of the church, not as a mechanical, dry, boring thing, but as a living organism that you have designed, again, for your purposes here on this earth and for the exercise of spiritual gifts as a body, Lord, until you return for it. So we give you thanks and praise for that today, for the importance of it. Lord, we also recognize today that there are some people that are challenged, and rightly so in some ways, with the cold, but yet, Lord, I look at this as another sign of your faithfulness and of your power. And I thank you today, Lord, that you have said as long as the earth remains, we're going to have four seasons, and this is a part of that. And I thank you for it, Lord. Lord, along those lines, as I mentioned earlier, there has been a lot of struggles this winter, at least in our area here, with viruses and not serious illnesses, but illnesses that just kind of hinder us in ways. And we do pray, Lord, that maybe some of this will pass after this spell of cold. And we thank you, Lord, even in this cold for your benevolence, because if you had sent snow, we would be in very cold conditions. So we thank you for your grace this winter, really a moderate winter, and we praise you for that, Lord, that you show your mighty hand through it. Lord, my heart always goes out to those that are not gathered here today as well for various reasons. It could be the cold. Others may be ill. But I always am drawn to our communities, Lord, around here and those outside of our walls. We pray, Lord, that we would be turned inside out, that we would have a proactive presence in our community for the lost, for those that are struggling, for those that are fallen, Lord, that we might lift them up and offer again to show them that you have a hand out as well to lift them up. Lord, in other cases, we think, of course, of Kim's dad. And I believe he is in your presence today, Lord, that his soul's in your presence. But Lord, again, death is a very, very big factor in life. And we thank you that you have overcome the power of death and the penalty of eternal death in what you did for us at the cross and the empty tomb. So Lord, as the Simmons family grieves this week, and we will miss Grandpa, and things will never be the same. Life changes. But we pray, Lord, that you would be held high and that there would be a word there that can be brought to people where there might be comfort found. So we pray for that this week. We pray for other families that may be grieving. Grieving is a long process in many ways. But help us, Lord, also to rest in your strength and your support that you give us to move on and to be challenged to go forward. There may be other things in people's lives today, Lord. There are, I know, several things that are not just specifically here at Fruitland, but in many homes and lives, Lord, that cause people to be hindered. We pray that you would bind the hands of the wicked one today, Lord, and that you would once again bring people into the community of fellowship here, Lord, where they might find help and support. Today, Lord, as we begin to look at this message, it is a vital message for Fruitland. It is a vital message to all churches that are Bible-believing, teaching churches and that want to see things done in a way that will please you, Lord, and that will have a dynamic impact in our communities. Thank you, Lord, today for your word that we'll look at, excuse me, that will illustrate this. And, Lord, the power of your word. Help us to follow your word, Lord. Help us to seek your face in prayer and supplication. And, Lord, I'm going to ask that you'll help me again one more time to bring forth the word. You know, Lord, that I am weak. By the way, I thank you for the opportunity yesterday to speak before a large group of people and to present the gospel in that speaking. But, Lord, you know I'm weak. I always get nervous about this. It's a big thing to come up here and handle the Word of God. But I pray today, Lord, through your benevolence and grace, you'll allow that to happen in this poor fool. So we're going to leave these things in your hands. I'm weak, but you're strong. And I ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the title of our message today is kind of a lengthy one, and I didn't look at the bulletin, but maybe Deb couldn't even fit it in. But the thrust of this message today has to do with this title, which is, "Is Substance, Not Size, Matters to God." Substance, not size, matters to God. And a question, will we accomplish what God desires and bring Him glory in the current and future days of His church? Today we're going to have a message from the Old Testament. It will be found in the books of Ezra, Haggai, and Zechariah. Those are not books that we go to often, usually anyway, in our studies, but there's some vital things there that need to be gathered from that, gleaned. That's the word I was looking for there. So if you're not used to going to those books all the time, you might have to sing the song or look in your index. That's what it's there for. But we will be poking around a little bit this morning in those three books. But friends in Christ, a little over a month ago, I attended a banquet here in Fruitland. Well, you know me and food. And somehow God works in ways that I will never understand, just as the Bible said, in mysterious ways. I better just stick to my script here. I went to a banquet in Fruitland, And a lady who formerly attended this church up until the late 70s handed me a folder. By the way, this is not my J. Edgar Hoover folder. She said, "Pastor, I thought you might be here today." I knew I shouldn't have gone to that banquet. I thought, we'll talk about this a lot here as we go on. She said, "Pastor, this folder contains," and I'll tell some of you her name privately. I'm not going to bring it publicly over the airwaves, but it's a lady that used to attend here. Some of you will remember. This is way before me. And she said, this folder contains data of a large building program here at Fruitland that never came about. It could have, but it didn't. And again, it wasn't funding that stopped this. In fact, some of you might want to look at this. And I've appointed Zelpha as our church historian. She and I talked about this. Did you ever look through this on the desk, Zelpha? Yeah. You know, usually it's money that stops things. There's a couple things in here. Can I just read this briefly? This is from a man named George Shepley that used to be at First National Bank, which is now Midwest One. Some of us know who he was. Letters dated August 3rd, 1977. Wow, Kim, we were just getting ready to get out of high school. Mr. Laverne Hubbard, founding pastor here. Some of you knew him. A dynamic guy. Fruitland Baptist Church. "Dear Pastor Hubbard, on June 8th, 1976, we confirmed by letter our agreement to lend up to $250,000 for construction of an 8,000-square-foot auditorium addition to the church. What would $250,000 be worth today?" There's another letter in this file where George Shepley told Pastor Hubbard, "We'll give you any amount you need." Kay, are you agreeing with that? You knew that you... Let me tell you, bankers don't do that kind of stuff. There was something dynamic that was happening here at Fruitland Baptist Church. Anyway, inasmuch as the period of our commitment has elapsed, it will be necessary that a new loan application be submitted. We are extremely tight as a result of heavy loan demand. Although deposits are considerably higher, the increase of loans has even outstripped that growth. As soon as the building committee has finished their plans, we should meet once again to try and work out a mutually agreeable timing for the loan." You wondered why the piano bench is down here this morning. I'm going to put that on there. If you want a copy of something, we can facilitate that. Maybe Deb can help you with that too after church. But leave it in the pack. There's a reason that this ought to remain in the archives. Now, as you know, I'm not a very intelligent person. Lynn Paris, I shared this folder with you one day. But I did do a little investigative work in this folder, which I'll talk to you about today. But we're going to go to the scriptures. This is the past. But we have a present and a future. Let me finish my script. I found evidence of what I think put a stop to this in the folder. And I'm just going to say this. I believe it was discord and disunity. And who's that come from? You folks that were involved in this, you tell me if I'm wrong about that. But I've got the evidence. Isn't that funny how stuff like this happens to me? Why wouldn't they have given that to Kay Terhune? Or Patsy? Or... It always comes to me. That's okay. Fruitland had over 300 people in a service in that era, and they needed to build. By the way, that building was supposed to go, the plans for that are in this packet. Right out here. Single level, by the way. 8,000 square feet. We all know it, those of us that have some years on us. Jory, this doesn't include you. You're still young and I'll check your ears later, see if they're still wet. The 50s through the 80s were a season of church growth and new buildings across our nation, right? Yeah. Some of us lived in those days. But folks, I want to tell you, that isn't the case today in many situations, but not all. Okay? Forgive me for looking at the script here. But there are still new churches that are being planted, evidence Moscow, and growth in some, but admittedly much is due to recycling. And I don't want to get, that's not the point of this message. There's not a lot of people necessarily that are being saved and being incorporated into churches. A lot of it's recycling. When churches have a fight or there's problems, adios, going somewhere else. That's the facts, folks. Okay? It's recycling. It's not necessarily from newly saved people. Now, folks, we can admit this, can't we? Fruitland is not as big as it was in those days. But does that mean we're done for, or that we're not going to make it? No. Well, it could if we don't get with a program. No, I'm not saying we should go build a new addition today. But that could still happen. Anything is possible with... I got to stop talking outside the notes or we'll never get done. But it is still in the game. That's Fruitland. And can be big again if God wills and the people are willing. I have talked to people from a couple of congregations in our area recently. Kim and I just ran into them in the last week that said their churches are down to less than 15 to between that and 20 people. That's our current church. And many of these people we talked to were not young people. In short, us older people remember different times in the church, but they may not have been all that good either, or what would have happened? It still would be going on, right? And folks, the bottom line with all it, it's sin that destroys churches. We must understand that the church is the Lord's, and we must be fruitful to what He has called us to do. Not fruitful, faithful. Faithful to what He has called us to do. We need to get over the past and look to today. By the way, I think Fruitland still looks back to the past a little, but I don't think that's a big thing today. I think we're just not looking at the future. I don't think we're satisfied with the present. But could it be said that we're maybe a little fearful of the future? And fear is always evidence of a lack of faith. Every time. But folks, understand this. We're still in the fight, and God is still with us, even in tough times. It's substance, not size, that matters to the Lord. We are not the first to experience this phenomenon. Let's see what happened after the return of Judah. The southern tribes, the southern part of Israel. Remember what happened to them? They were taken into captivity because of their sin. God warned them repeatedly. They were taken into captivity by Nebuchadnezzar in the Babylonian Empire, and they remained under their authority until at least part of the Medo-Persian Empire. But you know what? A guy named Cyrus came along that God had ordained, and he said, "You folks are going to go back. You're going to rebuild the temple. You're going to rebuild the walls." The lesson for us today will be brief here if I have all my notes down properly. It's been a little hectic lately, but we'll get them. They were out of the game for 70 years in captivity, but they were not out of the game if they chose to do it God's way. So let's just look at that a little bit from Scripture today, and I'll have just a little bit of a challenge. Let's see what happened after the return of Judah, the southern kingdom of Israel, to Jerusalem after 70 years of captivity in Babylon and the Medo-Persian Empire. Now, some quick data, and I don't want to bore you with this. And by the way, if you don't get this in notes, you can get a copy from me or listen to the recording. Just some data, though. This is the second temple. I'm going to go through this quick. This is the second temple after Solomon's temple, okay, that you'll study in Scripture. The third temple was when... Roman Empire overran Jerusalem, sacked Jerusalem in AD 70. Okay, that would be the third temple that was built. But anyway, excuse me, I got to check myself on that. I'm having second thoughts about that. No, I believe this is the temple here. That don't take me for truth on that this morning. I got to rethink about that a minute. 586, Babylon takes Judah captive, and they're taken to Babylon. That's Iraq, okay, modern day. Israel came back in three waves over 70 years. This was prophesied by Jeremiah. The first wave came back in 536 B.C., and Zerubbabel and Joshua was the high priest. Zerubbabel was the governor. So that was the first wave to rebuild the temple. The second wave was in Ezra, and he was the one. That's what the book of Ezra is about. That was in 458 B.C., and he was sent specifically with that group to complete the construction of the temple. That's what we're going to talk about today in part. And the third wave that came back came under the prophet the servant Nehemiah, which is recorded in the book of Nehemiah. That was in 445 B.C., and his mandate was to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. So that gives you a little bit of a timeline on that. Cyrus came to power in 559, followed by Darius in 522. And so Zechariah and Haggai were prophets during this time, which we'll look at today. Zechariah's name means Jehovah remembers. And so again, the primary leaders were brought to power and directed to come back to accomplish these tasks. These were found in Ezra 2, 1 through 2, about Zerubbabel and Joshua, and then chapter 7 of Ezra, and then under Nehemiah, of course, found in his book about the rebuilding of the walls that were accomplished in 52 days, and that's found in Nehemiah chapter 1. So that's just a reference point for you on that. So let's look now at the core of this message today, and it's about the temple building. So I'd like you to turn in the book of the Bible to the book of Ezra in chapter 1. And I'm going to have to cut some corners here this morning. But Ezra chapter 1 has this recorded in verse 1. It says, "Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation through all his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying, Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is therefore among you of all his people? His God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God which is in Jerusalem." Now, I'm not going to take you through all this because we got to get to the point of all this. But notice here, as you go through here, you'll find all the different people that rose up. And what did they do here? They took positions in all these things. And it's recorded in Scripture in chapter 2, the different ones that came back. But also Cyrus did a wonderful thing here under the leadership of the God of the Bible to see his nation preserved and potentially restored. God has always preserved Israel. He always will, till his program is fulfilled in them. But when Nebuchadnezzar sacked the southern kingdom, he took all the treasure. But notice what Cyrus did. We were talking about the money in this letter here. Cyrus gave back. Notice, just take a look here. Let's see. Verse 7. "Also Cyrus the king brought forth the vessels of the house of the Lord, which Nebuchadnezzar had brought forth out of Jerusalem, and had put them in the house of his little g gods." And you can go look through this, the gold in verse 9, the silver, all the precious things. He gave it back to the Jews to see a new temple brought forth in Jerusalem. God had his hand on Cyrus. God has his hand on some leaders, and he will use those leaders for his glory if they are willing to obey him. Now turn over to chapter 3, and I want to look briefly at 7 through 13. And this will get us into our text just a little bit further here. Ezra 3, and we'll begin with verse 7 going through 13. Whoops, I got to go back here one page. Verse 7. "They gave money also unto the masons, to the carpenters, and meat, food, in other words, and drink and oil unto them of Zidon." They were preparing to build the structure. "To them of Tyre, to bring cedar trees from Lebanon to the sea of Joppa, according to the grant that they had in Cyrus, king of Persia. Now in the second year of their coming unto the house of God at Jerusalem, in the second month began Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Yeshua, the son of Jozadak, And the remnant of their brethren, the priests and the Levites and all they that were come out of the captivity unto Jerusalem, and appointed the Levites from 20 years old and upward to set forward the work of the house of the Lord. So the rebuilding of a new temple. By the way, just put this in your memory bank. It took them 20 years to get this project done. Not because it had to take 20 years, but because what? We'll find there were hindrances. There were hindrances. Folks, I believe Fruitland has been under hindrances for a good many years. I'm ready to see those thrown off here. Bind Satan's hands. Now, this building is not a temple, although you could look at it in that sense, where we come to the presence of God when we're all here gathered. But the fact of the matter, folks, I believe Fruitland Baptist Church was ordained back in the late 50s with the people that began to work with it. Some of you were there from the early days. This work needs to continue and it needs to prosper. And we've been in a time of what? Well, Denny says a drought, and that's right. Not totally dry, but not what it could be. Not maybe, and I say maybe, what God wants it to be. Fair enough? Well, down to verse 10, I got a slice and dice. And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priests in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the son of Asaph, and cymbals to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. So they went with the right reasons. But look at verse 12. But many of the priests and Levites and chief of the fathers who were ancient men that had seen the first house, when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy. This is Fruitland Baptist Church. We still think back. It's not like it was. And some of us also are saying, it can still be great. I was thinking of a MAGA hat, how I could construct that to fit Fruitland Baptist Church. Fruitland isn't not great, but it can be greater again. Someone invent the hat, I'll wear it. Not in the pulpit, that would not be appropriate in the building. But do you understand what was going on here? 70 years. It wasn't over yet, the way that things happened. They had the right components about it. By the way, the past is always relevant. But the future is where we're headed, folks. Whether you and I like it or not. And I don't like it in that sense. I mean, I don't think a lot of things are going to be easier. They're going to be harder, but it's the future that God has designed. Verse 13. So that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of... You see that, Kim? The weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off. All right, we got to keep moving. Go to Haggai chapter 1, or go to Haggai 2:3. Haggai 2:3. Here the prophet Haggai records what's going on here. I'll start with verse 1. I'll read fast. In the seventh month, in the 1 and 20th day of the month, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, and to the residue of the people, saying, here's the key, who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? See, this is the danger we have when we look at things through human eyes. We don't see what God is doing. But I will guarantee you God has not abandoned Fruitland Baptist Church. And God has a purpose for Fruitland Baptist Church in the days to come. Amen? Am I off my rocker here today? See, this is what happens when you start reading Scripture. Maybe you've run into these verses too as well. Sometime, if you got the time, read the whole chapter of Haggai 1. But the fact of the matter, what I just read to you there, verses 12 and 13, is important to consider. Some look back, and the new temple was not as good as how it used to be. Yeah, I read Haggai 3. It's the memories, folks. And others rejoiced that it was back, and they rejoiced in the future. But now, go back to Ezra, to chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. Ezra 4, 1 through 5. Now when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the children of captivity builded the temple unto the Lord, God of Israel, then came Zerubbabel and to the chief of the fathers and said unto them, Let us build with you, for we seek your God as you do. And we do sacrifice unto him since the days of Esarhaddon, the king of Azar, which brought us up hither. But Zerubbabel and Jeshua and the rest of the chief of the fathers of Israel, said to them, You have nothing to do with us to build an house to our God, but we ourselves together will build unto the Lord God of Israel, as King Cyrus, king of Persia, hath commanded us. There's always going to be attacks on the progress going forward of the Lord's church. No, this was not the church that we're talking about here, but the work of God and his people. These people came in and said, we want to join you. But they came for what kind of purposes? To weaken, once again, God's plan. And in the flesh, oftentimes we want to take that easier path and say, let's bring this in. Folks, we can't ever do that at Fruitland. We have to stay with God's word. We have to trust him for the outcome. It may not be what it was, but it'll be what he wants it in the future if we do it his way. Verse 4, Then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building. I don't know the mathematics, 1976 or 77 up till now, what would that be, 48 years? I believe that's where Fruitland's been. Maybe some of you don't agree with that. That's where we've been. We've been troubled about moving forward. Various things. You can put me in there and say, yeah, Pastor John's to blame for things too. And I'd say, I told you. Be careful with me. Notice verse 5. They hired counselors against them to frustrate the purpose all the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, even until the reign of Darius, king of Persia. And in the reign of Ahasuerus, in the beginning of his reign, wrote they unto him an accusation against the inhabitants of Judah and Jerusalem. You can read on through this chapter. There was opposition nonstop. They got bogged down for 20 years before they got this constructed. Remember the premise we had here. They struggled from the very beginning because they felt joy, but they also felt what? They looked at the foundation that was laid, again, by Ezra, yes, and they said, this isn't anything like it used to be. And they got discouraged. They became discouraged. By the way, another turn to Zechariah now for just a moment. This all fits together. Let's hear what the prophet Zechariah, we heard Haggai. Zechariah chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. Moreover, the word of the Lord, this is verse 8, Zechariah 4. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also... By the way, I'm not Zerubbabel. Pastor Hubbard's no longer with us, is he? Thankful, I'm sure, that he's in eternity. They've laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. That wouldn't be the case necessarily here, but what God's assigned to Fruitland Baptist Church is not done. And those of us that are still here working with it, we need to get with the program. Our 20 years has been 48 or whatever, okay? You do the math. His hand shall also finish it, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. For who hath despised the day of... Read it to me. We've been thinking the wrong thing here at Fruitland about contracting. We need to be thinking about expanding, folks. And let me tell you this, even if Fruitland never grows numerically, and I pray that it grows, and it does, and we have great opportunity. By the way, I'm not negative about this today. I'm preaching you the Word of God. How to see through this stuff, see? Even if it never is 300 people again. By the way, we could have been the Calvary of the island. This is what happened. I don't know. This folder will tell you a lot. I'm not going to say it from the pulpit. And there's still people alive that were part of some of this. But my diagnosis, as J. Edgar Hoover, we ran into conflict and it lost its purpose. And that's where we get into trouble. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel, the plumb line, with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro through the whole earth. The Lord knows what's going on here at Fruitland. But here's the deal, folks, with what the prophet Zechariah is telling us here, is don't despise the day of small things. And for whatever purpose, if Fruitland continues till the Lord returns, which I hope it does, even if it never gets back to 300 people, I'd like to see it a lot more than that. The point is, though, if Christ is pleased, if His plumb line is set and we've stayed with it, and we have the right attitude, the right spirit, we're looking to the future, trusting Him, we're not letting fear overrule us, folks, it will be a success to God. That's the bottom line with this. Christ is pleased even in small movements that are in His will. Now, Jory, I picked on you earlier. I'm going to pick on someone every Sunday a little bit. By the way, I sure like having Jeff come here. He's helped the boys at the farm and everything. That was a classic last week, though, when I said, Kim, always, if you get in one of Kim's vehicles, it'll be on empty. Remember what old Jeff said? Mark's the same way. We still have fun. But folks, remember this. What we think is failure in man's eyes may be a great success in God's. Here's the conclusion. Did you get all the point of this, or you want me to... Judy, I heard that. My hearing's not that bad yet. A foundation was laid in Fruitland Baptist Church roughly 70 years back. Someone had a vision for how all this started. By the way, we come from humble means, you know, potato shed, and this is neat stuff. The question that I have in conclusion today is this: will we obey Christ and finish the work that is to be done, or let memories, discouragement, and other factors end it and disobey and displease the Lord? It's that simple. Let's do the best with what we have and hope for the best, trusting God. Maybe we can complete the mission started nearly 50 years ago, the addition, but stopped. What will be our part in it? And will, this is the most important thing, will you and I do our part? It's time to get on board, Judy, you'll like this, and sail the ship. Do you get the point of all this today? Please take a look in this folder. Take a few minutes. There was a magnificent thing that was started, just like with the temple. These folks did accomplish it. It was never what it once was, but they accomplished the best they could to the purpose that God called them to complete the work that was assigned to them. That's the key thing with us. I could say a lot more, but I think enough's been said. Amen. Let's take our hymnals and stand. 816. By the way, if you're struggling here a little bit, this is clear in the back of the book. Now, I'm amazed, again, I don't pick the hymns anymore here, and the committee that picked them. What was our lead-off song? Someone got your bulletin? Now, how did all this happen that God laid this message in this, you know? Huh? And take a look at our closing hymn today. That's what it's going to take to give God His way. It's going to be good. Make Fruitland, well, it's already great, but greater. Again, okay? Here we go. By the way, your part in this is God has spoken to you. Let it be known. If you're weeping today, weep. If you're excited, be excited. But get it right with God. By the way, as always, if you're here today apart from Jesus Christ, I'll tell you what, that'll be the biggest mistake you ever make. Rejecting Him again one more time. When we're on board with Him, it's going to be fine. You know, and I know what we need to do. Have Thine own way, Lord. Have Thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after Thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. Simply today, let God have His way. It'll be good. Denny, will you close in prayer, please?